This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2158. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded September 29th, Algeria, Andorra, Antarctica, Bahamas, Canada, Colombia, Cuba, Egypt, Indonesia, Ireland, Kaliningrad, Kazakhstan, Christmas Island, Korea, Mexico, Morocco, Nigeria, Puerto Rico, Russia, Spain, Turkey, Ukraine, UK, USA, KBSDRs, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, as we expected last week, the Algerian relays via France have terminated. Now that Algeria has its own shortwave site on the air, Yves Ivanov and I agree that the scheduled frequencies via France are no longer to be heard. And he says only one of them from Algeria, the Ouargla site, O-U-A-R-G-L-A, which had been testing, is not being heard either, just the frequencies attributed to the Béchar site. Namely, and I won't attempt to specify the time spans because they're quite variable, 7200-9450, 17600, 15100. However, as of September 23rd, Ivo says, the transmissions are on the air during the previous spans used by ISUD in France, namely from 04 to 07 UT, and from 18 until 23. In the British DX Club, Christian Guibaudot in France says, the next broadcast of Radio Andorra Revival on Saturday, October 1st. Only one broadcast via Austria to Europe, 19 to 20 UT on 6180. No repeat later this month to North America. My monitoring via Argentine remote this week of LRA 36 Antarctica on 15475.98, reduced carrier upper sideband. Both on Saturday, September 24th, and Wednesday the 28th, they started about 1430 UT instead of 1500 as before, so that may be a permanent change. They never seem to last for very long. On Saturday, it cut off the air in progress at 1542, while on Wednesday it lasted only until 1514. Lots of hurricane-influenced news this week. Mark Connelly recorded some announcements concerning that from stations in Puerto Rico, Cuba, USA, Florida, and Bahamas. Here's the one from 810 Bahamas as of 01 UT on September 28th.
Now for the complete 2022 hurricane list, you can log on to our ZNS Northern Service Facebook page. And that's a look at our special coverage on Hurricane Ian. Be sure to join us again on 810 AM and 1540 AM Radio Bahamas at 10 PM for the latest information. We encourage you to stay safe and stay tuned to the ZNS network for the latest on Hurricane Ian, as only the sun covers the Bahamas better.
Thanks to power outages knocking even some Cuban jammers off the air, CFVP Calgary was in the clear, imagine that, on 6030, September 29th at 0644, when I was hearing comedy in English, and also in the clear for Ron Howard in California, September 28th at 0706, like this.
Calgary's funny, 1060 AM.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Funny 1060, of course, is a relay of CKMX, and it's also reported by Mark Taylor, Wisconsin, in the Nashville Flash Sheet, September 23rd at 1227, with a comedian before a live audience and with an ID. First time he's heard it in years, he says. Manuel Mendez in Spain says that Colombian pirate on 6017, Organización Radial El Prado, was on the air much later than usual, September 24th. He was hearing it all the way from 0344 UT until it closed around 0708. And Ron Howard in California was also hearing it then with non-stop music. CNN has a one-hour special, final repeat, UT Saturday, October 1st at 0100, Immaculate Concussion, the Truth Behind Havana Syndrome. That's possibly involving a microwave RF weapon. Around September 25th, some serious mix-up at the Cuban transmitter sites. Radio Havana, Cuba, supposed to be on 5040, was heard on the Rebelde frequency 5025 instead during English at 0628. And it worked the other way. Ivo Ivanov noticed later on after 11 UT that many of the scheduled Radio Havana frequencies were instead carrying Radio Rebelde. I was still hearing Havana in English on 5025, September 27th at 0654, where something is always wrong. Once Hurricane Ian hit, all Cuban shortwave broadcast frequencies were off the air, September 27th into the 29th, but not all the jammers. Some of them could still be heard. I wonder how they managed, since the mainstream press was reporting a 100% blackout in Cuba. Don't you believe it? And, of course, some of the jamming heard continued to be against nothing. Like so many items I can only mention briefly here, there is much greater detail if you want them, by consulting the World of Radio IO group. Mike Cooper forwards a detailed report from the Congressional Research Service titled Cuba, U.S. Policy in 117th Congress. Among other things, it says, according to USAGM's 2023 Congressional Budget Justification, the Office of Cuba Broadcasting had a weekly audience of 1 megacuban in fiscal 2021. During the July 11th protests, USAGM maintains that despite the government's disruption to social media platforms, circumvention tools helped 3.2 megacubans consume OCB content on FB. Radio Republica, the clandestine that WRMI runs via a transmitter in France, is at least temporarily free of jamming. 9490.058 variable, as heard September 29th at 0117. It is always significantly off frequency. Here's the schedule they announced, which I have converted to real universal time and days. On 9490, at 01 to 02, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Extended until 03 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And until 04 on UT Monday. They also mentioned another broadcast, which is on WRMI itself, or would be if it were on the air, 5800 at 03 to 04 UT. The days of the week are not clear. It could be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, or Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. From egregious Egypt, Radio Cairo continues to be on the air, sometimes in English at 2115, on 9440. It's either unmodulated or with horrible modulation. On the Isle of Wight, Alan Holder, G4ZBH, explains the situation. It is just over a year now since Radio Cairo fired up two of its transmitters. The other 7 units are obviously defunct. Probably the tubes are worn out and they cannot get replacements. Or maybe they have used them as a source of spare parts to keep the remaining 2 on the air. I monitor them most days to look for any improvement, but sadly the situation has not changed. A huge amount of electrical energy is going to waste. This audio quality would not be tolerated by the domestic AM audience in Egypt, so why must overseas listeners have to put up with this miserable service? They cannot be relied upon to broadcast regularly. On some days, all language services are on air. On other days, only part of the schedule, or sometimes everything is off the air. Startup times vary from day to day. It seems the transmitter station is not continuously staffed. The AM transmitter lies some 700 meters to the north. Perhaps the operators have to cover both sites on their shifts. There was a 7-week period when the transmitter, which operates on the 9810 to 9900 range, was completely off air. I emailed ERU and this transmitter was back on air the next day. And a recent reply from their engineering department says, "Thanks for your mail. We would like to tell you that we are still having a lot of problems in our broadcasting system, as the system has become too old. And there are a lot of defections in our stations and devices. We're looking forward to having a new DRM system in the future." Alan says it will be a miracle if this ever comes about. I suspect it's difficult to get any funding for technical improvements at Radio Cairo. Upon Asil Omar, State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports a surprise reactivation by the only Indonesian on 41 meters. Program 1 from RRI Nabire, 7289. 0.93. Heard September 27th from 0804 till off at 0824 with easy listening songs and few announcements. The cutoff time seems to vary. He got a tip from Japan, where Hiroyuki Komatsubara had heard it September 26th from 08:45 until 09:19. Ron's further logs on September 28th tune in at 07:55 and tune out at 09:15, with a few announcers. It may have been a commercial at 08:30, otherwise mostly easy listening pop songs, except for 10 minutes at 08:49 reciting from the Quran. It was still on the air past 09:15. And on the 28th, Craig Seeger in New South Wales also heard it from 09:15 to 09:28. And again on the 29th, Ron Howard reports Nabiri. Tune in at 07:47 to 08:50 and 09:01 until it cut off at 09:59 when it was running rather late. Again, no news, but mostly easy listening pop songs. He was very pleased to hear a RRI singing jingle, which years ago was often heard. Nabiri is on the north coast of Irinjaya, the island of New Guinea. John Collins in Birmingham reports hearing a religious station from the Irish Republic on 549 kHz medium wave around 16 UT on September 26th. That's Spirit Radio, listed in the handbook of last year as 25 kilowatts, but inactive at that time. Alan Pennington in Caversham says, it returned to 549 around the 5th of September after being off the air for about 3 months. Transmitter is near the border with Northern Ireland. If you hear open carriers matching on 5006 and 8006 kHz, you might well assume it's the propagation research station in Japan, JG2XA, as heard by Ron Howard. But Tom, DF5JL, was hearing something else matching on those two frequencies with some radio teletype. He performed lots of direction-finding tests. At first it seemed to be coming from near Szczecin, Poland. But then he heard an ID for RJD69 at 2142 UT, that is, the Russian Navy in Kaliningrad. And he informed the operators of the Japanese station immediately. F. Patrick in Poland sent a medium-wave mystery to me on about 1280.3 kHz, an FM signal, best resolved, with 3 kHz bandwidth, interfering with one of the few Ukrainian medium-wave channels, 1278. Including this nice interval melody and ID, he was hearing it both around 14 and 19 UT. Yes, that ID mentions Kazakh Radyosu, and Mauno Ritoli explains, it is Kazakhstan, the Aktau site, AQTAW, drifting from 1341 kHz with FM-ish modulation. Last winter it was around 1320 kHz, now even lower, as mentioned in mwlist.org. Gary Pence, Ron Howard, and I continue to monitor Radio Kiribati from Christmas Island on 846 kHz. And conclude that it seems to be missing consistently on Sundays and Wednesdays. On September 29th, Gary Pence had it as early as 0403 via the remote in Hawaii. From September 20th to 25th, Ron Howard in California had a mystery non-stop test tone on 4810 kHz. As early as 0835 past 1050 UT, blocking any chance of hearing Radio Logos Peru. Hiroyuki Kamatsubara in Japan has also been hearing it, and he thinks, judging from the strength, it's coming from the Korean Peninsula. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio, 2158, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Dan in Cincinnati, to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. Preferably by money order or check on a U.S. bank, or not necessarily in U.S. funds via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. A new edition of the IRCA Mexican Log has just been published, and it's free to all to download on the web, an excellent reference compiled by Tim Hall. It's in frequency order, but with many cross-references. Find it via the website, www.ircaonline.org. Via remote, such as in the Canary Islands, Zaharias Dangas in Greece has been hearing something strange on 6300, which he calls an Arabic priest station. At 07 UT on September 23rd, there were chants. At 07:30, they ended, and there were nearly 25 minutes of chatter. Tariq Zaidan in Egypt identified the dialect as Gulf Arabic, but then concluded this is coming from Moroccan fishermen, some French as well. And Zax found a second network about the same time and same signal levels on 5820 variable. Voice of Nigeria continues to appear irregularly on 7254.933. But on September 29th, both morning and evening, it was dead air. If you'd like to read more about the effects of Hurricane Fiona on Puerto Rican radio, there was an article by Paul McLean in Radio World of September 23rd, updated on the 26th, sent on to us by Mike Terry. Among other things, roughly half of the 125 radio stations were either on emergency generators or off the air as of September 22nd. Via the AER forum in Spain, an article by René Kohlenbrander on Radio Classic Sunday about an air horn station. It's a Russian military on 3510, the channel marker 24/7. Previously on 4020 and 4070, but now 3510. An incredible situation at Novelejas for Spanish Foreign Radio. For at least 5 days, September 25th through 29th, whenever I check their Mideast frequency, 15520, there's been no modulation, open carrier, dead air. The other frequencies are warning okay, such as 17855 for North America. Nobody paying attention at the transmitter site or at headquarters, it seems. Isn't there a meter on the transmitter showing modulation or not, even if they're not listening to it? I check the Voice of Turkey's English broadcast to North America on 9830, almost every day at 2200. Here's what I found during the past week. On September 23rd, it was very undermodulated. I had to run volume levels at max. On the 24th, it was just barely modulated again. On the 26th, no signal at all. On the 27th, it was very good. On the 28th, also good modulation, but with some hum. On this date, it was 21 hertz off to the top side of the frequency. Otherwise, it's like 3 hertz off. I wonder if they're switching around to different transmitters. Before it was knocked off the air, WRMI was still carrying an hour from Ukrainian Radio 1 at 05 UT on 7730. It used to start off with a Ukraine security issue in English for the first few minutes, but not lately. Some other language, maybe Slovak, as Ivo Ivanov has noticed. Richard Langley and Walt Samaniv have concluded by listening to a time check in Ukrainian that WRMI has been relaying UR1 2 hours later than usual for some reason, that is, an hour which does not include English. But we can still hear USI on the Ukrainian radio website in English, and I've been copying the major headline details. Major cutbacks at BBC World Service, first from a press release. Changing audience needs around the world, more people accessing news digitally, go alongside a challenging financial climate. High inflation, soaring costs, and a cash flat license fee settlement have led to tough choices across BBC. International services need to make a saving of 28.5 megapounds as part of a wider 500 megapound annual savings and reinvestment to make the BBC digital-led. Proposals entail a net total of around 382 post-closures. That means layoffs or firings. 7 more language services moving to digital only. Nearly half of all 41 language services will be digital only. No language services will close. Those which are already digital are Azerbaijani, Brazil, Marathi, Mundo, Punjabi, Russian, Serbian, Sinhala, Thai, Turkish, and Vietnamese. Radio services, BBC is proposing to stop Arabic, Persian, Kyrgyz, Uzbek, Hindi, Bengali, Chinese, Indonesian, Tamil, and Urdu. Language services proposing to move to digital only: Chinese, Gujarati, Igbo, Indonesian, Pidgin, Urdu, and Yoruba. This led to further press about it and speculation. Why Cooper forwards an AFP story based on RFI in France? No language services will close, the broadcaster insisted, though some production will move out of London. The Thai service will move to Bangkok, the Korean service to Seoul, and Bangla service to Dhaka. The Daily Mail says BBC insisted the World Service will continue to serve audiences during moments of jeopardy and ensure audiences in countries such as Russia, Ukraine, and Afghanistan have access to vital news services using appropriate broadcast and distribution platforms. It also says the World Service in English will continue to operate globally as 24-hour broadcast radio with new scheduling, programs, and podcasts to be set out in due course. However, it seems none of these stories make clear at all what's to become of shortwave transmission in particular. We can only assume it will be reduced. Stephen Luce in Houston comments, given BBC's shift in language emphasis on shortwave, it would not surprise me if the Oman and Singapore transmitter facilities are closed, and it's likely that English and other languages retained on shortwave will see cuts in transmitter hours in B-22 or A-23. Kai Ludwig in Germany says, a web stream with some podcasts and relays from TV and domestic radio would suffice to claim it is still available 24/7 worldwide. Back in 2010, BBC already stopped production of radio programming in Chinese altogether. At least that's how BBC News itself reported it back then. So in the meantime, they must have relaunched something for whatever kind of cooperation, or the press release should be read with a grain of salt. With Hurricane Ian crossing Florida, I thought it would be a good time to check for the very low power propagation research transmitters on 6993 kHz, known collectively by the call sign WH2XWF. They are experimental with 164 watts at several locations. But around 0630 UT, I could still detect the carrier on September 28th and 29th. John Filiozzi forwards a press release of September 22nd that USAGM acting CEO Kelu Chow said after the U.S. Senate confirmed Amanda Bennett to be CEO of USAGM, a proven journalist, public servant, and business leader, Amanda has both the vision and experience to build on our progress. Furthermore, her confirmation was bipartisan, including a number of Republican senators. Last week, World of Radio was deleted from what had been its first shortwave broadcast anywhere, UT Friday at 0130 on WRMI 5850 and 7730. That leaves 0330 UT Friday on 7780 as the next chance, if it's on the air. But we are pleased that IRRS shortwave has restored World of Radio via Bulgaria 7290 to Fridays at 1815 UT. It was missing a couple of weeks by mistake. Also on medium wave 1323 in Italy. It may be some time before WRMI can be back to normal transmissions, so I suggest you be careful to find World of Radio somewhere else, WBCQ or one of our many other stations, including webcasts. Check out the schedule at worldofradio.com. As of September 25th, Texas Radio Shortwave had changed its broadcast on 15770 to Europe. It had been Wednesdays at 13 UT, now Sundays at 1200 if 15770 is on the air. Before Hurricane Ian, Ken Zicke was suggesting that WRMI might benefit from installing solar panels on the land around all those antennas, or even windmills for powering. Jeff White says that idea has already been explored, but it just would not work. For one thing, they do not own the land, they're just leasing it. Otherwise, it's grazing for cattle. This led to quite a discussion in our group about the costs of broadcasting, electricity going up, and others, how stations are coping with this problem. Desert Billy in Rochester, New York, made some calculations that a 500-kilowatt shortwave station would spend $1,020 per 12-hour period on electricity. Rose of Radio Northern Europe International says, our costs per hour have drastically gone up. Channel 292 used to charge a rate that was profitable to them. Now it's 25 to 50% higher, depending on the type of broadcast. I believe, at a loss or just breaking even. In Europe, it's getting to around half a euro per kilowatt hour in some places. The military conflict going on with gas shortages has made prices skyrocket. Our WRMI bill has remained static, but I assume their costs have risen some. Yerevan has also risen nearly double in cost per hour. Mostbrunn, Austria is holding steady, but it's assumedly hydro-powered, so that makes sense. Same with Issoudun being nuclear-powered. It's a very expensive time to be broadcasting at the moment from a European perspective. Kari Kallio in Finland says, I see a lot of stations collapsing or significantly reducing their output without government price control intervention or the cause of price increases ending. It's hard to predict, but it can't be good if this continues. Maybe transmitters will be replaced with lower power systems for a temporary period. Going from 100 to 10 kilowatts would only lose about 11 dB of signal strength and might be worth it. Roger in Germany recorded an announcement from the mighty KBC. They may have to stop at year-end due to higher transmission costs and they need new sponsors. WRMI was totally knocked off the air due to a power failure and also, no doubt, damage to the antennas thanks to Hurricane Ian. Jeff White keeps us informed also on FB. This is what he told us on September 29th at 2012 UT. Electrical power has just been restored at our site in Okeechobee. This was incredibly fast after Hurricane Ian hit us yesterday. However, we cannot return to air immediately. An engineering crew will be here first thing tomorrow morning to check the antenna field. They will note which antennas and transmission lines are okay and which ones need repairs. After that, we could begin putting some frequencies on the air again while repairs are made on the others. More info about this tomorrow. No hurricane problem in Pennsylvania. September 28th at 2020 UT, WMLK was off 9275 in the middle of its six-day-a-week schedule. While its neighbor, in more ways than one, 9265 WINB, was nominal. Here's Steve Witt. Check Inside Radio of September 27th for a story about Tampa radio waves moving into storm coverage. Here's an idea of mine heard around 06 to 07 UT on September 24th, 25th, and 26th on 4905. What is it? Mont Contant in Belgium notes there are some pirate contacts around 6.6 megahertz in the aeronautical band. Zaharis Yangas says, French pirates, mostly on 6650 LSB, Greeks 6660 to 6690, and 6700 to 6720, mostly LSB. Wolfgang Bütchel says many of these are maritime ship radio operators at leisure time. Via Steve Witt, the Kiwi SDR Forum says, if you want to purchase one, you better do so soon, because when the current distributor stock is sold, there will be no more. The Kiwi is a victim of the global semiconductor shortage. Parts have not been available in more than a year. Read more about it at forum.kiwisdr.com. The propagation outlook from SWPC. G1 to G2, minor to moderate geomagnetic storm levels, expected October 1st to 4th. ANKNS is peaking at 50 and 6 on October 2nd, down to 8 and 3 by October 7th. Solar flux in the 130s. And that's World of Radio, 2158. Glenn Hauser here. Thanks for listening. And please hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.